All right, happy Thanksgiving and welcome to the big show. My name is Michael Petrelli, and I'm here as always with the Pilgrim from Atlanta, Brad Slayton. Brad, what's going on?
Not much. How about you?
Just getting ready for the holidays, you know. It's a vegetarian holiday for me. I don't eat meat, so we'll be tofurkying it up with the family, eating lots of veggies and stuffing our faces with lots of really good stuff that doesn't include meat or dairy products. How about you?
I'm a full meat eater, so I'm going to eat that turkey out.
The carnivore himself. Yeah. It's like a fun holiday for many, 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 many people, and it's not a fun holiday for the turkeys.
Actually, after that, I'm going to lay on the couch and watch my Cowboys beat your Eagles' ass.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, it's going down tomorrow. Romo, 500 yards and 7 TDs.
Jesus.
Against Sanchez.
As every person who hates the Cowboys just tunes out of this podcast all at once.
Sanchez. Are you really putting your hopes on Mark Sanchez?
No. Well, we'll just see what happens.
You'll get RG3 next year.
Well, I am thankful for Chip Kelly, but I'm not thankful for Mark Sanchez. But I can tell you what we are thankful for. We're thankful for some pretty awesome TV and movies that have come out in 2014 that we thought we would kind of go through the list and thank our lucky stars that we've had some pretty good entertainment this year. But first off, I'd like to say that I am also thankful for the missing crew that we don't have here tonight. Melissa Hansen, Liz Ferry, and Jeremy Harmon and the extended family, Nathan Hamilton, Lou Botino, Ryan Garner, and the rest of the HorrorCast crew. Hope you guys all have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll see you back on the show, and safe travels. So let's get back to what the topic at hand was. So I was thinking about this long and hard and trying to come up with the amount of things that were great about this year. And I could say that as of watching 75 movies and watching about my ungodly amounts of hours of TV this year, I could say that I've had a pretty decent year. How about you?
Oh, absolutely.
There's been some really great TV and there's been some really great movies, and let's probably... we may cross paths at it once in a while. That might scare some people out there, but Brad, there might be a few that we cross paths on.
Petrelli and I crossing paths is like crossing the streams. You just don't do it.
Don't cross the streams.
Nope, never.
So I guess we wouldn't be able to start off this podcast and thankfulness of movies if we didn't start off with Guardians of the Galaxy. Actually, let's just talk about Marvel in general. I mean, I'm thankful for Marvel itself. I mean, it used to be that movie companies bought out comic books and tore the shit out of them. And now we finally have a company that owns these rights and cares about the product and puts out quality films. So, and you don't get any more quality than Guardians of the Galaxy and Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Now, I know you saw Guardians of the Galaxy last week, and yes. You had some pretty high praise for it.
Yeah, no, I totally, the first Marvel stuff that came out, I know millions of fans, I just didn't feel it. But this year with Guardians and Captain America, they've won me over. I mean, I'm by no means a flag-toting, fanboy of them yet, but... Guardians of the Galaxy and Captain America Winter Soldier are definitely high points for me.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Fox owns the rights to Marvel's X-Men franchise, but they actually didn't put out a sucky film this year in Days of Future Past. Yeah. So I'll add that to my thankful list. One that doesn't go on my thankful list, one I'm thankful that I can never, ever see it again, is Transformers Age of Extinction, which is... probably the worst piece of garbage all year. Maybe not. Actually, there's probably some pretty bad movies out there that if I really sit down and think about it. But I have to say that is definitely one of the piece of shits of the year. So that they go in the they go sit at the Cowboys table.
Wow. So we are tied with you for the division lead. So how are you saying that?
So what were some of your thankful films that you saw this year?
Well, let's start off with how you start off the podcast. I'm thankful for Long and Hard. Lars Van Trier, Nymphomaniac. Yeah.
Awesome.
God. I mean, that's right now, unless something just knocks it off, that's my number one thus far.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's definitely going to, it was definitely in my top 10. Shameful that the Independent Film Critics Award didn't even nominate even one part of it or the whole.
Really?
Yeah.
See, my God. You know, it's all because he made one comment about being, you know, a Nazi. I mean, come on, people. There have been worse. I mean, people are still going to see Bill Cosby shows as of this past week. I mean, come on. You can.
I'm wondering if most of those people probably had tickets and they just didn't want to let them go to waste. that's one of a, what's one, those were some great films, those two. What else would you put in the thankful pile of great films this year?
Well, I'm thankful for Weed, which, you know, inspired what I view as one of my top films, Tusk. Because if Kevin Smith wouldn't have gotten really high and come up with the idea of turning a man into a walrus, we would not have the glorious film Tusk.
Ugh, God. Actually, I just...
Your thoughts?
I forgot that Tusk came out this year, and it may have topped Transformers Age of Extinction as the worst film of the year. But I do understand where Brad comes from, and I understand... that I can see where he likes it. Me, I'm just not buying it.
I understand.
But I'm also thankful for Boyhood, which may be one of the greatest films I've seen in the last 25 years, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I will be glad to see it win every award this year, hopefully. Richard Linklater's 12 years of agony, you know, was a rousing success, in my opinion, and made many, many, many of our top 10 lists of the first half of the year. It will definitely be topping the list of my top movies of the year. I'm pretty much sure that that wasn't a surprise to people. I have not seen anything better. I've seen things close, but I have not seen something better. So I'll be thankful for Boyhood. And I'm also thankful, and I think we can both agree on this, and Jim Jarmusch's Only Lovers Left Alive.
I think I was the lone dissenter on that one. I enjoyed it, but I was not fucking deep-throating it like everyone in the world has. Like, yes, it was a good film, but... it's not in his, to me, it wasn't in the upper echelon of his films. You know, like, I expect more from him. I hold him on such a high pedestal. I expected more from him.
Right. I should preface this to saying that all these movies that we're mentioning today probably and may not wind up on our top 10 of the year list, which will be coming in about 5 or 6 weeks. But they are movies that we consider some of our favorites and we are thankful for. Godzilla. I'm going to go ahead and say that I was thankful that I was able to see Godzilla come back to the big screen and kick some major ass. The movie was a little slow at points, but I think overall it was definitely a rousing success. So from the standpoint of monster films, do you have any favorite or things that you're thankful for in the world of horror and monster?
Oh, absolutely. And with Godzilla, I was just having this discussion with someone today about Godzilla. The more I look back on it, the more I dislike it. Like, Godzilla is not our friend. Like, I'm really, like, the more and more I stew about it, like, he should have been the villain and been destructive, you know? I'm like, we viewed him technically as a god in that movie, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want, you know, Godzilla and Son. You know what I mean? Like,
I enjoyed the film. I thought it was a good roaring comeback. It definitely was better than that Matthew Broderick version.
Yeah, but at least Godzilla was evil than that, you know? I'm conflicted. It's a well-shot film. It's a somewhat well-acted film, if disjointed. But I don't know. I just like evil, you know, kaiju Godzilla.
Right.
You know, I'm definitely thankful for the burst in indie horror. I guess more genre bending horror. Blue Ruin and Cold in July were amazing, you know, tweaks. They had, you know, the elements that horror fans love, but weren't necessarily horror entries. And recently Starry Eyes, which is an amazing independent horror film, which is definitely going to be in my top five. It's come out of nowhere and has just knocked everyone on their asses.
I don't think I've heard of it. Which one was that?
Do what?
Which one was that?
It came out 2 weeks ago on video on demand. It's an actress who essentially gives in to the evils of the casting couch. And I don't want to spoil anything for anyone, but yeah, between Blue Ruin, Cold in July, and Starry Eyes, and Late Phases came out this past week, which is a blind Vietnam veteran versus werewolves in a retirement community.
Interesting.
So, a lot of indie horror picking up for you know, the shitty Annabelle horror.
Yeah. I actually just saw the trailer for Insidious Part 3 right before we started this podcast. I hadn't seen it yet, and I got to say, I actually have some hope for that. It actually looks pretty decent.
It's a prequel, though, right?
Yeah, but it definitely has some vibe. I think it's got that first film vibe. So hopefully, you know, we can maybe make a real good horror film that actually comes out in mainstream.
But no James Wan.
No. But you know what? Sometimes when he has his little hands in the mix, sometimes he can come up with something and give a good director a good nudge in the right direction. So hopefully he does. So I'm going to go into thankful for sci-fi, and I got to be thankful for Interstellar. Matthew McConaughey, Chris Nolan, that freaky girl that played Catwoman in Anne Hathaway. And God damn it, was Michael Caine in that movie. I mean, the guy was in everything.
including Jaws the Revenge.
Including Jaws the Revenge. But Interstellar may go down as one of my favorite sci-fi films in all of all time. And my friend Tony Palacios will pretty much abide by this glowing review. We've never given 10s out in our entire lives. None of us, neither one of us. He gives Interstellar a 9.9 on his Richter scale of greatest films of all time. I don't go that high. I'm still in the, I'll give it about a 9.2. But if you haven't seen Interstellar, do yourself a favor. Take the 3 hours and go mind melt with Chris Nolan and enjoy yourselves, because it is one hell of a ride. And spend the extra money to see it in IMAX. I can't believe I'm sounding like an advertisement, but I can tell you that it is one film that is well worth seeing in IMAX.
Interesting.
Another sci-fi film that I think was amazing this year and I'm very thankful for was Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. A very reimagining of the old Groundhog Day made in a sci-fi story with a bunch of little intricacies that were added back in. And the story, I actually went back and read the short story, which was a Japanese school book story. And the film really does capture the what made that book, that short story, so beloved. So if you haven't seen Edge of Tomorrow, you should definitely check that out one as well.
I'm gonna check that. I haven't seen it yet. This is what I would rate as Ethan Hawke's greatest performance this year. My view, and it seems like it's not getting the credit should, and that's Predestination.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Oh, it's awesome! It's unbelievably awesome. I'll get you a copy.
Cool.
It's great. Him and Noah Taylor. Noah Taylor is one of the most underrated actors out there.
Oh, he's great.
The amount of things he does. And it's by the Spearing brothers who did, you know, Daybreakers and Undead.
Yep.
And it is amazing. But it's still not the top for my sci-fi. The top would have to be The Zero Theorem by the wonderful Terry Gilliam. That was, and the fact that it got such high praise, finally to see Terry Gilliam kind of return to high praise. I just love that movie.
Yeah, I can't go with you on that one.
We're not crossing streams.
No, I didn't hate it. I just didn't love it like you got, you and Jeremy did.
Jeremy and I, you know, we're special breed. It's okay.
Well, I'm also thankful for Keanu Reeves' return to the screen in John Wick, because John Wick was fucking awesome. It was one of those great revenge films, and the reason why he's going on a revenge kick is because they killed his dog, man. They killed his fucking dog. They didn't kill his wife. They killed his dog, and he fucks people up for it, and that's why it's a great film. John Wick, if you haven't seen it, mark it down.
They killed his dog.
They killed his dog, bitch, and he went after those motherfuckers.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Well, so what else are you thankful for this year? We'll wrap it up with a couple more.
Oh, good grief. God, this is a hard one. I'm thankful for a ton.
Fun movie outside the box that you saw this year that was, you were like, man, that was really fucking good, and I thought it was going to suck.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
I really did not have high hopes for that whatsoever.
None?
No, because, you know, it's what, 3 years later? You know what I mean?
Right.
Time-wise. And there's no James Franco, who I thought was great in the first one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different director. And Gary Oldman was coming off of that horrendous RoboCop, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, I just don't see this going well, but I enjoyed it more than the first one.
Yeah, I did too, I think.
And it did not go the way I thought it would go. Like, it honestly threw me for a shock.
Yeah.
And it's the first futuristic movie that I remember of recent that treated nature realistically. Like, that fucking grizzly bear was huge. And it's like, yep, that's how it would be, you know?
Oh, yeah.
No one gets those little details. Like, I just love those little details. I really thought that movie was going to kind of bomb.
Right. But,
no, it didn't.
Well, speaking of details, I have three films that I'm going to end my best of with. Birdman, Snowpiercer, and The Raid 2. Three films completely different from each other. But three films that will wind up in my top 10 no matter what else comes out this year. The Raid 2 was one of the perfect Godfather melds with action films that you'll ever see in your entire lives. Birdman is one of the best shot films I've ever seen. And Michael Keaton's return to form. And I probably can see him winning the Oscar this year for that role. And Snowpiercer, which I know we're crossing paths now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It is one of the best sci-fi films and dystopian sci-fi films that you'll ever see, and it's the one that you didn't fucking see because it only made about $4 million in the box office, which is shameful. Shameful, people. So you should go out and rent it and buy it.
I'm thankful to that director for, you know, sticking it to the Weinsteins and being like, no, you're playing out my fucking version.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and saying he doesn't understand English when they told him about it. You know, I mean, they told him that he had to cut stuff out, and he used the foreign ploy of him not understanding English.
Yeah.
Like, that's just brilliant.
He is pretty brilliant, and his vision was brilliant, and everything about the film was brilliant. And as a matter of fact, my wife watched it the other day. Just out of the blue, she picked it out of the Blu-ray pile, and she watched it, and she was like, wow, I can't believe I didn't see this movie before. It's fantastic. Yeah. So, oh my God, I would be remiss if I didn't say that Jake Gyllenhaal's performance in Nightcrawler, definitely thankful for that, because that was fucking awesome. The movie's not as awesome, but the movie's really good, but he is awesome.
So he's making a comeback.
He is making a comeback. Don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years. Yes, he has. So you're not going to be happy for you're not thankful for Ouija or the Purge 2 Anarchy or
I have not seen Purge 2 Anarchy. I was on Nathan's show this past week and he highly recommended in our little small talk, you know, off the air. He said he was pleasantly surprised by Purge 2, but I was just so disappointed with the shitty first one.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I'm going to have to go and watch the second one. Because everyone seems to, I mean, not love it, but say, you know, hey, that wasn't bad. So it just kind of feels generic to me, but I'll watch it.
I may at some point. If it winds up on Netflix, I'll check it out. But it was definitely not something I was really running out the door to see. So
yeah, no. But, yeah, I mean, this has been an excellent year for movies. I've been more, I guess, in the independent world than I usually have. And that's more what's knocking my socks off. Like, Blue Ruin, it's so sad that that movie's not going to be nominated for a single Oscar, but it damn well deserves it. Like, it's an amazing, amazing film.
So is Joe.
I love Joe. My one problem with it is it felt way too reminiscent of Mud to me.
It's close. It is.
Like, and it was the same, you know, actor. Mm-hmm. What's his name? The boy.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I was just kind of like,
Sheridan. Ty Sheridan.
Sheridan, yeah. And he's an awesome guy. You know, I interviewed him at the Atlanta Film Festival. You know, we saw a sneak peek of it before it came out and interviewed him and the director there. And I mean, he's a level-headed guy, you know? And
right.
That's why I asked him, like, how are you not Lindsay Lohan-ing it? You know, like, what keeps you grounded? And like, he's got his head on straight, you know? So, I don't know. Nicolas Cage, man. Like, I love the guy, but damn, he picks some weird shit.
He does. That he does.
But I'm always thankful for Nicolas Cage for just being out there.
Just for being him. Thank you, Nicolas Cage. We are thankful for you.
Oh, Lord.
Well, as we go in as Real News Daily,
We're going into Real News Daily?
We're going into Real News Daily, who's going into TV, who is going into, yeah. So as we start to venture into the world of television, I've been watching a crap ton of television this past year. And as we'll start to mold and some of the greater shows and some of the lesser known shows into our podcasts and our website, we thought we would also be thankful for some of the great TV shows that have come out this year. And I think we can both say that True Detective would be in our thankful pile.
No, absolutely.
I am so, even today, and it was 8 episodes and it's been over for almost 7 months, I am still floored by that show.
Yeah. It's amazing. But, you know, and I've been telling people and they tell me I'm crazy. I honestly think season 2 is going to be even better.
I hope so.
I love Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, I think there's overhype on him, you know, like he's not the next, you know, like vintage Pacino or Warren Beatty, you know, I think there's like an overhype PR machine on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I have faith in Colin Farrell and Vince, because technically, I mean, Woody was doing Woody.
True.
Like, I do love it. It was great. But I really think Vince Vaughn hasn't had a role like this in like a decade, but probably longer. And Colin Farrell's been doing stellar work independently. So I really think these two can bring it.
But until the king is knocked off his crown, Rusty Cole is still the man.
yeah. Well, no, Woody's the man. He banged Alexandra into Dark.
Oh, yeah. So, however,
Justin Cole can go do whatever he wants.
And I think we both say that it was another travesty that the show didn't win any award at the Emmys.
Did it not?
No, it was beat by Breaking Bad.
Wow.
Yeah, which some people complain that it should have been a miniseries. It should have been the miniseries category because it was only 8 episodes. And most people said that, oh, well, Breaking Bad's leaving. It's their final season, so of course they're going to win. But it doesn't make any difference. True Detective blew everything out of the water this year. And
I don't get that fucking theory. Like, when did it become okay? Like, when did we become a nation of pussies to where we can say, oh, well, that's okay. We'll give him this award because he died. Or, oh, it's okay. We'll give Al Pacino one because, you know, he hasn't won one before. Or, let's shower this show because it's not coming on. Like, I feel like our ancestors, you know, who sat down with the Indians would have been like, that shit sucks. Who cares? They should have done better their last season, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
let's kill some Indians, you know?
Well, it definitely wins. It definitely wins the award for me for best show of the year. But unfortunately, I don't get the vote. So fuck all.
Why not?
I don't know. Why not? Why not? God damn it.
You should be voting.
I know.
Don't vote for John Wick, but.
Oh, come on. You haven't seen John Wick, baby.
I don't. It's Keanu.
It doesn't matter. When you see it, you'll be like, oh, my God. Trust me.
Does he dodge bullets in slow motion?
No.
Does he fight with a bunch of Chinamen?
No. But he kicks a bunch of Russians' asses, though.
Does he time travel through a phone booth?
No.
Does he surf?
No.
It's not hitting the good points.
All right.
I'll check that eventually. I can't comment until I see it, but.
Well, another show that I'm completely enamored with this year was a season 2, thankful for House of Cards, another great show that's been coming on from Netflix. I don't watch Orange is the New Black and all the other crazy stuff that people love to watch, but I will definitely give it to Netflix on Kevin Spacey's show because that show is the bomb, kid. And season 2 kicked that shit up a notch, which was really fantastic. Can't wait till season 3 debuts in 2015. I am thankful that Kevin Spacey is such a freaking crazy ass lunatic.
He is awesome. Yeah, I have to get, you know, I watched on Amazon Prime and my mind's blanking now. The political show with John Goodman on Amazon Prime is flipping hilarious. It's like the comedic version of House of Cards.
Yeah.
With John Goodman as a senator. And it's an Amazon
Prime. Oh, yeah. I heard about that. I haven't seen it. Oh, my
God. It's fucking hilarious. And the cameo in episode 1 is great.
Check it out.
To open the entire series. I won't spoil it for anyone that hasn't seen it. I can't remember the name of it. My mind's blank. But, yeah, it's amazing. And for Netflix series, I got to give it up for BoJack Frickin' Horseman.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
That's my Netflix addiction for, you know, Netflix original. God, that show is so great.
I'm going to go with 3 shows in a row. 3 DC shows, DC comic shows, 2 debuted this year and 1's continuing. First, The Flash, which has been fantastic. Grant Gustin is my Flash. Fuck all these people that say that he's not. Grant Gustin is The Flash, and he should be The Flash in the movies and everything else going forward. But I digress. Yeah, baby. I am ghetto using digress. Gotham, which has been absolutely fantastic. It got a little wavy in the beginning. There's a couple of characters that really don't reminisce with me. But the show in general has been fantastic. I actually just wrote up a mid-season wrap-up, which will be on Real News Daily tomorrow. And also Constantine. Matt Ryan has been fantastic as the Hellblazer. The show itself has been enjoyable. It's not been fantastic. It's definitely a show that grows on you, and it's definitely a show that should be given its chance. Unfortunately, it's on NBC, and NBC fucks everything up. So I'm assuming that the show is going to wind up getting canceled, which would break many, many fans' hearts. But hopefully, they'll get their fucking heads out of their asses and take it off Friday Night Graveyard time slot. where it won't derail the great show and will give it a chance to have some life. So, soapbox put away. Those are what I'm thankful for.
Wonderful. That was all comic stuff?
Those are all the comics ones. Okay. And Arrow's been fun. I mean, Arrow's been fun. It's not as great as the first two seasons. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is kicking it up a notch. And it's having a lot of fun with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But those three shows, Gotham, The Flash, and Constantine, really have stapled themselves into my world. And they've been pretty damn great.
Awesome. I haven't seen any of them. How's Jada Pinkett?
She's actually one of the character that I can't stand.
I figured so. That's what turned me off. Like, I want to watch it so bad for Donald Logue because I'm like the world's biggest Donald Logue fan. But yeah, Jada Pinkett just doesn't do it for me. Like, that turns me off.
It's definitely a show you should check out, though. I mean, her character's not going to derail you from the show.
But the point of the show, I mean, they're not tying this into the movies ever, obviously.
No.
Like, it's going to be like Smallville, and then it'll go away, and then people will bitch and complain that they didn't continue it into the movies, and then have a shitty movie with Ben Affleck.
Well, we'll have to see how it plays out. Hopefully, we keep on having some really good character development, because the show has been just simply amazing with character development. And The Flash, as it's been very campy, it's exactly what it's supposed to be. It's exactly the show that The Flash is supposed to be. So no one really can complain about that if you're a real true fan of either the story of The Flash, which a lot of people, he's an A-minus character, I guess you would call him, in the world of comics, but he's still a great character. But I think that if you enjoy comic book shows or comic book movies, you'll definitely love The Flash. It's a lot of fun. And please, people, give Constantine a try. If you're not, it's really fun. It's really great. It's really kind of gory and has a lot of elements of spookiness to it. It's still NBC, so it's still kind of low-key, but it's definitely something to check out.
I should have got Keanu.
No, you know what? Matt Ryan's done a really good job. I did enjoy Keanu Reeves as Constantine, but I'm okay with it being recast. Let's go into the horror of TV show. So, The Walking Dead's been up and down for the first 8 episodes of season 5. Lots of complaints about it being a little slow. So I'm not sure I would be thankful for the first half of the season. I'll be thankful if the rest of the season winds up having a little bit more meat to it, but I am thankful for the character development of the show.
I can do it. See, like, this past week, they ruined it with cutting away from the main story. Like, I could have done without the other two stories.
Right.
And they screwed that up, like you were saying, by splitting all these stories. And maybe they'll all blend together and we'll be like, oh my God, they're genius, you know? But well, with horror TV, I've got to say, I'm thankful for Hannibal. It's amazing. And honestly, next to Manhunter, it's the best, you know, Hannibal Lecter, storyline I've seen. I've got to give it up to American Horror Story, which I think's amazing. Even though they don't know what the fuck they're doing by killing the clown, I was upset by that.
Yeah, real strange that they would kill him off. Oh, well, spoiler, guys, but for anybody that hasn't seen Freak Show. But, that was a shocker to me.
Yeah. And I love Emma Roberts. My God. She's wonderful.
She is pretty good in the show. She was good last year in a really bad coven.
Yeah, horrible coming.
Yeah.
And then I think I'm one of the few, but I love The Strain. I've read the books. I thought The Strain was fantastic.
All right, so you got me on the hook here. I got to watch The Strain, and I got to watch Hannibal.
Yeah. Have you read the novels, like The Strain novels by Del Toro and Chuck Hogan?
I have not.
Okay. You'll be fine without reading them. I read the novels years ago when they came out, and I love the novels. And I mean, you hear people bitch and blah, 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 but it's the same thing they bitch about with that show, and then they praise The Walking Dead for it. Like, oh, it's too slow. Oh, why are they spending time talking about this?
Right.
You know, and why are they flashbacking to 1944 World War II or whatever, you know? And it's like, okay, but you come over here and you say, Walking Dead, oh my God, character development. I'm so glad we went back and saw what happened to Carol, you know?
Right.
And it's like, hold on, what the fuck? You know, like, I think Del Toro's got a great thing, and this is only going to be, I mean, they can only carry this on for 3 to 4 seasons.
Okay.
You know, with the story.
Right.
So it's not going to be a long-running thing, but, no, it's amazing. I love it on FX. I just wish they would have made a movie. Like, they could have really gone off the wall with the movie. But Sean Astin was great in it.
I will check it out. I think we can agree on another show. Penny Dreadful.
Yeah, that was great too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think Showtime finally found its groove, so I'm thankful for that. From Ray Donovan to Homeland. They've really been clawing their way back to compete with HBO. Penny Dreadful, for those who haven't ever seen the show, it's set in the 19th century England. Excuse me. And the show centers around characters from 19th century Irish and British fiction. So like Dorian Gray from Oscar Wilde's Picture of Dorian Gray, and Mina Harker and Abraham Van Helsing from, of course, Bram Stoker's Dracula. And of course, Victor Frankenstein from Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Very good, yeah. Michael. You won a prize.
Ava Green has been amazing in the show. Josh Hartnett hasn't sucked. And a real great performance by Reeve Carney as Dorna Grave. Yeah. So,
is it John Hurt?
John Hurt. Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton. Okay, I always confuse them.
Timothy Dalton. Yeah. Former James Bond.
Yeah, he's amazing as well.
Yeah.
And a show I don't think a lot of people watched. I loved WGN Salem.
I actually never saw it. I actually heard about it after the show actually was finished.
Yeah. It had its slow moments, you know, kind of like, oh, what the fuck, you know?
Right.
But the finale was like, we just fucking owned your ass. Like, I was like, wow, I can't wait to see it. And Marilyn Manson's showing up in the second season.
God.
I am so intrigued to see what he, I mean, they spared nothing in the finale. So I'm, it's a really solid cast. Like, it's a really solid show, but I feel like it doesn't get credit because it's on WGN.
Right.
You know, but, it's smart person horror, you know?
I'll check that out too. Put it on my list.
They think, and I get, you know, two shows that they're not really horror, but we haven't discussed them yet. Ray Donovan on Showtime.
Great.
John Voight deserves something, just like even if they have to create an award just of badass, excuse me, you can add that out, badass motherfucker award, you know? Like, he has revitalized his career from being like a snobbling wham, my daughter won't talk to me, psycho.
Yep.
And I absolutely love it. And then, you know, if they are going to give shows awards for going off the air, then Boardwalk should sweep it this year.
Yeah, Boardwalk was great. It was a nice return to form for the Boardwalk Empire. However, there's another show that they're canceling this year, which actually wound up, which for the first 3 episodes has surprised the shit out of me again because it's such a great show, Newsroom.
Yeah.
So HBO getting rid of 2 great shows. You should have compackaged those 2 shows together for like the last 3 seasons instead of having Newsroom walk the fucking plank by being the follow-up show to True Blood.
Yeah, goodbye True Blood as well.
Peace out, True Blood.
I love that show's first 2 seasons. Like, they had me the first 2 seasons of True Blood, and I kept watching just because I don't know, maybe I'm an idiot. But yeah, they lost it there towards the end.
Yeah, that's why I'm thankful for True Blood to be off the air now, because it sucked after the last. It got four good seasons, and everything else after that really sucked.
Yeah. Now Sarsgaard can go be in films where he should have been.
Hopefully, he does a really good job with his film career. And I have to say, another great BBC show. I'm thankful for Orphan Black.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Orphan Black has proven itself to be BBC's best show besides Sherlock, which I can't really call anything more than a miniseries because it's three episodes or four episodes and gone every year, Sherlock. So Orphan Black, from a series standpoint, you get my kudos. I am thankful for you.
Yeah, and for talking BBC, for those that didn't listen to the Zombie Horrorcast, In the Flesh, check it out, people who don't listen to the Horrorcast, although you should be. But yeah, In the Flesh, it's a heartbreaking zombie series from them.
I wish I could be thankful that there's no more Real Housewives of anything on the TV, but my God, now we have six of them? Jesus Christ.
Wow, six of them? Really?
Yeah. Atlanta, Beverly Hills, Miami, New York, New Jersey, and Orange County. Screw you people.
And that's Atlanta, right?
Bullshit. Still going? Yeah, it is.
There we go. ETL.
Yeah.
Well, there's some more screenings. What the hell? No Atlanta screenings. You're like, look at me. I have all these screenings for you wonderful people. Atlanta, go to hell.
Atlanta, go to hell, he says.
No, I don't say that. I'm just saying, I'm portraying Pet Rocks in that. Look at all these screams.
You heard this, people. That was Brad Slayton from Georgia saying, Atlanta, go to hell.
No, I'm trying to get more screams in Atlanta here at Petrelli.
I hear you.
I'm not physically trying to. I'm just, you know, vowing at the altar of Petrelli.
Well, we can't not have a thankful moment without James Spader.
Ooh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's great.
The Blacklist is back. Season 2, fantastic. The guy is just, you talk about reinvigorating your career. This is a guy who was left for dead, who has just clawed his way back and is really, I mean, has created a character on TV that is just mind-blowing.
What?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you were continuing. Yeah, I fully agree. And I don't think it would have happened if he hadn't have done that little guest stint on The Office.
Oh, he was great in that too, wasn't he?
Yeah, because, I mean, that was NBC. So, you know, it's kind of like, stint on The Office. And then, oh, look, we now have him in The Blacklist, right. You know? One thing I'm not, I am so thankful for, oh my God, what's his name? Berlin.
Oh, God. Peter,
Stormare.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful for him. I'm not thankful for Paul Reubens' hairpiece.
Wow, that was pretty bad, wasn't it?
Makes him look like the Dutch boy paint kid.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
But they have the greatest, like, guest actors.
And they actually have a really good cast. I mean,
yeah.
The cast itself is put together very nicely. It's cliche. I mean, there's some really bad, there's some real cliche episodes, but the show itself.
Drug addiction.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it finds its way through, but it's definitely a show to be thankful for. And, you know, I think we've already said many, many times that it's been a great year for TV and movies. I'm sure everyone's got movies and television shows that they are so thankful they have a chance to watch every week or see at the film theater every week or two. And
any good comedies you liked?
I like 22 Jump Street. I thought that was pretty funny.
Like, are there any comedies you watch on TV?
I love Community, and I can't wait for it to come back. But that's about it. I keep to smart comedy. I think Community was one of the best shows on TV.
I'm hopelessly addicted to New Girl. I don't know. I guess it's Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah, everybody talks to me about that. I've watched it. I watch it sporadically. I don't watch it religiously. But it is a really fun show.
There's just something about her. I don't know.
And no, people, I don't watch The Big Bang Theory. I don't like The Big Bang Theory. I don't find it enjoyable. I just think it's shite. So please stop asking me if I watch The Big Bang Theory, because I don't watch The Big Bang Theory. I don't want to watch The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, fuck The Big Bang Theory. Everyone who wants smart comedy, go watch South Park. Like, this season of South Park has been some of the smartest satire that I think I've ever witnessed in my entire life in any medium. Like, they are nailing everything on the head that is going on in the world.
But you still need to all go out and watch Community, too.
Well, I gave up when Chevy Chase left.
Well,
I'm a Chevy fan, man.
The Chevy, man. The Chevy.
It's kind of like the people who quit watching Two and a Half Men when Charlie left, you know? It's like, fuck, I love Chevy, you know?
Yeah, I'd be thankful if CBS and NBC went off the air.
And then you wouldn't see Hannibal or The Blacklist.
I could watch them on Hulu.
Not if they went off the air.
And I couldn't watch Constantine too, but I would I would like them to all like sell off all their shows and go off the air and commit mass hemorrhoidal
genocide
something.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
So I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving this week. Thanks for listening. When we're all thankful for you, the listeners, for giving us a chance for these last year and few months, bringing us into your home, putting us on during your workout, your ride to work, etc., or when you're trying to tune out your kids and your wife.
Wow.
We thank you, and we will see you next week.
#walrusyes.
See ya.